I get so excited when I see someone who is going through this process of trying to understand what God is saying. And this is happening in one of the guys in our community's life, Cameron. He can't be here today, but he sent me a voice note to just share on what the camp meant for him. We've been talking a little bit, and he's saying, like, he recommitted his life to Jesus, and he doesn't always know, like, what must he do. Sometimes he sins, but he doesn't feel like he has this settled in his heart that he's on the right track and he's going to go to heaven. So he's struggling with this thing in his mind a little bit, and he reads some scriptures and so on. It happens so that he picks up a lady one day who was looking for a lift, an older lady, and she loves Jesus, and they chat about the very same thing in the car. And then with that as well, just a week before the conference, then he gets to the conference. So the first thing I wanted to share was what he typed in out for me. He said he really enjoyed the conference, and he got to sit in front because Mike was kind to him and he gave him a seat in front. And that I can say, where you are standing in the tent does bring a different atmosphere, or maybe like an encouragement from the ones around you just to like participate and to put yourself in there. And for worship, we stood at different places inside the tent, and for me it felt like they were not always the same. So I can understand why he's really grateful for you putting up there. And that was the word that spoke the loudest to him as well, was when he was sitting there in front. So I'm just going to read that quickly. He says, all of the lessons were amazing and an eye-opening. It was far more than I expected. The lesson that stood out the most for me was Ryan's preach on God's forgiveness and just to understand how forgiven you are, even when you sin. And he's saying like that approach, when you do come to God and you ask for forgiveness, the way that you do go to him to ask for forgiveness is not about you, it's about the work that he has done and understanding what he has done. And if you really understand what is in the covenant for you, then you will approach him in a specific way when you then do go there. And he says, yeah, I understand it's not hyper grace. It's not like you can just do what you want to do. There is grace for every new day. It doesn't mean that because we understand it, we can just keep on sinning. It's in fact, it's turning you away from sin because your heart is pointing towards following God with all that you have. So yeah, that was really great to see, and for him to grasp that and to understand it, to know that he is sure of his salvation from this conference on going forward. He's never going to doubt that again. So yeah, that was wonderful. Ian, will you come join me, please? What I can say is, if there was anyone in this congregation that had an excuse for not to be at the conference, it was Ian. And it was not that he only had one excuse. He had multiple excuses for not being at the conference. I'm not going to give you the mic because I know you like to speak without the mic. But he made the decision to still go to the conference. And I'm going to just give him a minute or so to share what he would like to share. So our last one to share is going to be Michal. Michal can come forward. After the conference, we were in the car for 10 minutes or so, and we quickly rushed through all of the good sessions, and all of them were really, really good. But Michal is just going to share on one that stood out for him.
So the message that stood out for me was one titled, Contend for Unity. And this guy was basically talking about how clear communication is needed, and for us as a church to become united, it needs that. And during this talk, towards the end, he started talking about having had past hurts or offenses against people, things that have been done against you, or that you have misunderstood stuff and you have this hurt in your heart. And so as he was talking, those of you that might know, like my wife and I, we were in Tunisia last year in a really awesome country, but we were in a situation with people that we really loved, and it went very sour at the end. And so I thought I'd work this thing through. I was thinking I'm fine. I've prayed, I've forgiven them. And as he spoke, and he said, if there's anything in your heart regarding hurts or offenses against people, come forward now. And as he said that, this thing hit me so hard that I had still had hurt and pain from what had happened there. And I went forward, and I prayed, and I asked God just to work this thing. And I was weeping, like, in the front there. And I was a bit surprised by how deep this thing still was. And I think as I was reflecting about this in this week, that hurt, it was causing me to have a distrust in a way. So I couldn't see it, but I was distrusting people in some form, in some way. And so I was just grateful that I had the opportunity to work that thing through. I'm feeling much more lighter from it and more aware. Okay, Lord, is there any other things that I'm holding on to that is causing a hurt or an offense in my heart and causing me to distrust people around me? Because ultimately, if we have hurt against each other, then it affects our unity and how we follow the Lord. So yeah, that was, for me, one of the highlights.
Two questions for you. On the way to the conference, was it something that was like on your mind? Was it bothering you? And then now, a week after, just tell us, did you manage to leave it there? What's different?
So no, I didn't think that was a problem. I thought I was fine with that area. It really only happened when I was sitting in that teaching. It hit me just so hard. And so I knew if I didn't deal with it there, I don't know what the effect would be. And so in this week, I have been thinking on those people and praying for them. And I do feel that there's been some shift that happened in the conference. So I'm feeling much more lighter as a result of it. Yeah.
Thank you, Michal. It's not really your enemy, but it's good to be able to pray for the ones that hurt us as well. And then, like Michal said, he didn't realize that thing was in his heart. He had to allow the Holy Spirit to work with him when he was sitting there. And then when that happened, he acted on it. He didn't just brush it off and let it go, because he would have missed the opportunity. And I know, Michal, I know about some other things that also he has been thinking about, just walking with us as a congregation as well. And that thing is something that's now settled, and it's something of the past, and it's not going to affect him in the future. I had one very nice point I just wanted to make on forgiveness. We are all people, so I offend people, and I also get offended. But this was the comment that I think we must keep for ourselves, is that we are on the same team. We are here because we want to reflect Jesus. And if there is anything like that with a brother or so on, it's better that we just work with that. We be honest about it, first of all, and then just remember, we're on the same team. We stand together so that we can reach the rest of Hazelfontein and Longabon and Darling, or wherever we are. Yeah, the conference was really good. It's all about God, and we managed to worship Him passionately, and His name was definitely lifted on high. But what was tremendous for me, or something that I noticed, was that He was working with every single individual that was at the conference at a different level as well. So it is nice to be there, because we see the bigger picture, but still in this conference, He was working in individuals' hearts. And that is what's most important, is where our hearts are is what matters to God. If we love Him with all our hearts, then we can serve Him the way we should.
I just want to touch on one thing that Kunai said there about the fact that we're on team. And I think there's something that we need to realize there. And it was actually something that hit home. So often we could be doing the devil's work for Him. And He loves it, man. Like, He loves if He can just get in between there and cause a little bit of upset, and then slander and gossip start to get out, and then all of a sudden you're hearing things, and you don't know if the person even really said that, but you find there's offense taking grip in your heart. And I think it's one thing Ashley said when he preached on it. He said that it's all of our responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen. And so often when someone gets up and they preach about Jesus, who is the rock of offense, okay, then it touches aspects of our life that are like, that's hard. And so now the person that spoke it becomes the focal point. And I think what we need to realize is that often when Jesus touches those aspects, it's our responsibility to get before Him and to then work that through And that's where the comfort of the Holy Spirit comes. He makes it easier for us to be able to, he shows us different aspects. And he doesn't give it to us all at once. It's in bite-sized portions because he doesn't want to injure us. He wants to see us come into wholeness and to heal. And but it's our responsibility that, you know, also as communicating from the front, if I've said something or someone, one of the other leaders or anyone has said something that maybe didn't represent Jesus as well, that our posture should actually be those, well, then I invite, if there's anything that has maybe offended any of you guys, that you, that I'm an open book and that you can come to me at any time. And I think I speak on behalf of the leadership to be able to go, please, it's our duty to work these things through. So if there's offenses or there's accusations, or remember, he is the one that wants to bring offense. He is the accuser. So let's stop doing the work for him. And let's pull together in unity, displaying something of the image of God, and have those conversations where needed, recognize where it was Jesus or where it was someone else, own where we were wrong, and move on. Is that cool? Lekker. Who's next? One of the other comm leaders.
Everybody? Yeah, my electronics left me behind today, so nothing connects, nothing wants to go there. So I quickly made a few notes here, but I think the Holy Spirit had a good reason for that. I know you're smiling at that, Mike. But the problem is it could take longer now, eh? Okay. Bodine, het jy daai, sal jy daai foto kan opsit wat Susari daar gesit het? Nie nou al nie, maar as jy hom net kan regkry, dankie. Ja, it was, I spoke to somebody there at the conference, as we were going into one of the next sessions, and I just said, oh, this feels like heart surgery, but I knew it was the wrong word, because I was just so fired up. And he says, no, it's edification, and it was, because there's so many things in a person's heart, and we're all different, we all hear the things different, because the Lord's working with us individually. But I came away from that super, super, super excited. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about myself now. Cesari came through this morning. She said she thinks she'll testify. And so, because a lot's been happening. But as Corneille just said there now, it's so good to see when somebody in your comm or somewhere that we befriended or just in the church is just coming through. And there's just so much life in them. And you see what the Lord's doing. Man, I can tell you it's exciting when your wife gets there, or is that person as well, and it's just so, I mean, if I've said that many times before, if it weren't for Susari, I would not be here. So, my darling, you want to quickly come and share? So.
I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or the flesh. I think it was one of my best conferences so far. He did really do a deep work in my heart. The word was meaty. It was sometimes scary, but it was so good. What stood out for me is Mervis's word, beholding the King. And we went into a time of ministry, and I just let the Lord minister to my heart. And I can't explain it, but I just saw beauty, and I experienced beauty all around me, and I felt the Holy Spirit awaken my spirit, like awaken, and therefore the beauty, and so I'm so thankful for him for that. And since then, I just have a drawing to be with him. And the other thing he reminded me, as a while back I testify, or I shared about leaving the Lord in the prayer closet and not taking him with as you go about your day. And because sometimes we try to play God and not let him be God. And it's the best to let God be God. And he gave us Holy Spirit and to counsel us, to comfort us, and just that reminder of, take him with. So just have a scripture that I want to leave you with. It's Galatians 5:25. Since we are living by the Spirit, Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in all the parts of our lives.
Amen. Thank you. Just, Cesaria was sharing quite a bit on that, that she feels this drawing that the Lord's talking about. They're just drawn to more intimacy with Him and drawn that. Now, in this week, how have things been going?
Ja, ek is bly Frieda is nie nie. So, Herons, moenie vir haar sê nie. So, it's just, while I'm working, I have this intense drawing, then I go to the Lord and I sit with Him. And while I'm coffee, I just want to be with Jesus. And it's so encouraging and I'm just so thankful.
I can assure you she works in all the hours. Moenie worry nie, hoor. That's her time is flexi time, so she sits in front of that computer and I say, I lost my wife. Anyway, but I've lost my wife to Jesus, and that's good. And then also she's very diligent at what she does. Kan jy miskien my prentjie gou opsit asseblief? Okay, try not to read the lot there, but you see the little picture there, there we go.
Yeah, sorry I'm a bit emotional, but what a special weekend. Tough words, anointed words, truth, and I can really say the body of Christ is being built up, is being edified through this, what is happening there and is happening here. There's a verse in Revelation that says, let him that have an ear hear what the Spirit has to say. And what you heard here this morning, that's the Spirit. So let's hear and let's listen. Let's give heed and let us act on that. The weekend was just amazing, like Martin said, how the sermons just flowed one into each other and up to sort of a climax in the end. But it was, for some people, a very, very hard climax. I spoke to one lady and I said to her, how did you experience Andrew's message this morning? And she said, ooh, that was tough. I have to think a lot about that. It's very hard for me. But we must realize God is shaking. Not only his body, but the world. God is shaking. And what is shaken off will disappear. But what remains is unshakable. And that is the truth. God's truth, his word, his Spirit, his love. That's unshakable, that's unchanging, that is everlasting. So let's listen and let's hear what God's Spirit wants to say. Thank you.
I think from my side, just a privilege to share on actually what happened to the kids last weekend at the 412 conference. I know I've shared previously at, I think it was Mother's Day, where it's, you know, for us as a body and as the church, that it's a collective responsibility to raise the children in the ways of the Lord. And you know, I'm so encouraged, and you know, just seeing what had happened over last weekend with the children. I think I'm just going to go through a few pictures and then share it with, and then Melanie will share a bit more with you guys. But on the practical side, there were over 4,000 people at the conference and about 400 kids that attended the kids' church. And of that, we had 100 kids church workers actually that have volunteered from across all congregations. It's months and months of prep work, putting together all the crafts and everything and the lessons and that. So a lot of time and effort goes into it. You don't just get to the conference and, you know, all 400 kids disappear somewhere. There's a lot of time and effort put into that. So I was just so encouraged. Badin, you can skip through the slides, but it's just showing you the, you know, a bit of arts and crafts. And there's all the kids. That's actually Merv and his wife ministering to them. And it was just such a precious time with the kids in spirit-filled worship. A lot of children responding to the Lord, a lot of salvations. Just what a privilege, guys. And if we don't set the tone and set the opportunity for gatherings like this for the kids to actually respond, I mean, yeah, where would we be? So just, yeah, I think over to yourself, Mel. Thank you for volunteering.
Hi, everyone. So, Shantae asked me, like, I've been doing Kids Church for, like, 10 years being in Joshin, but I never served in Kids Church for 12. And then Shantae, my daughter, she's like, Mom, please can you serve in Kids Church? Just please, just once, my last time in Kids Church, can you please serve? So I was like, sure, I'm going to be in your class, it's fine. And then they actually put me with grade twos, which is... But the thing for me that really stood out, and it's like actually for me, it's like a thread of what's been sharing. This one boy was playing with a water bottle, throwing it in the air and catching it. And he threw it, and it actually hit his head. And it actually hit his head and then hit another boy on his back. And this boy is like hurting and is like looking at the other boy. He's like, Owen, I will never forgive you. And I was like, oh. We're going to have to quickly process this. So I was like about to get up to speak to him and stop playing with the bottle. And as I got up to walk towards him, this little boy stood up and he walked straight to the other boy and he looked at him and was like, Owen, I love you and I forgive you. And he gave him this big hug and he just, and they became best friends for the rest of the conference. But for me, that really stood out of it. It's like how many times as we... actually things happen to us, we get hurt, emotional hurt, offenses, and things happen. And we actually like make this inner vow saying, I will never forgive that person. Or I'll forgive them, but that doesn't mean you'll be my friend. I'll just like be nice, but actually just not really pull you in. But how a 7-year-old, 8-year-old boy was showing us like actually it's so easy to forgive and actually become friends with a person that hurt you by actually just letting it go. And not sitting with that inner vow that becomes this root in your life. For me, that was the best thing that ever happened. But the Kids Church, what we learned about building church and how do we build church well. So the whole teaching was, they did a teaching skit with a few LEAP students. They did a little play every morning about things happening to you. And how you can respond right, or what's the wrong way to respond, and how do you actually help each other in the body of Christ. Yeah, so it was really a beautiful thing of seeing how kids, like there was this one boy that played as the bad guy devil, and our kids were actually responding in the play, like, no, don't do that. It was beautiful seeing how kids actually naturally respond to good behavior compared to bad behavior. Like, it was a beautiful thing to see. Yeah, and there were some kids that actually, that was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were just weeping and weeping and weeping, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of recommitments. Yeah. And it was like, serving, you think like, oh, I'm going to give up the whole conference. I'm not going to be part of things. I'm going to be separate with kids. I'm not, because I served all 3 days, so I wasn't in any really services. But you think like, oh, I'm going to lose out. And it's amazing how we actually see the Holy Spirit move, and we actually had worship sessions with Mervis, and a lot of the things where we actually could feel the Spirit moving in us. And then in the last session, we as teachers were worshiping on our own before the thing started for the day. And in that, God showed me this picture, how we actually equipping kids for life. And like some of the kids actually left the conference in tractors, like spiritually filled so much that they're actually going into the world so filled up with what God is giving them. Yeah.
Well done. Thanks, Mel.
Yeah. You got more.
No, you're up.
Cool. Did you want to share something? Yeah, also in the kids. Yeah, you can come share if you want.
So Mike's youngest nephew, he's 6 years old, and he gave his heart to the Lord at the conference. Yeah. And like you hear about Ivan van Vuren, who gave his heart to Jesus at the age of 4, and you hear about Milani, who gave her heart to Jesus at 6, and you think, yeah, they've probably had ups and downs in their walk, but it's the same spirit that lives in them. And like you hear about these, I don't know how many salvations there were, like, I don't know, I almost want to say like 40, like there were a huge amount of salvations. And it's like just to carry that heart of hope for them, that they can see it through, like that the Lord will be close because it's possible. So just not to underestimate what's happening in that room right now, or what's happening in the kiddies just sitting under the testimonies, like that's how powerful God is. Anyway, so we were just like rejoicing because we have a 6-year-old nephew who's now following Jesus, and it's, yeah, beautiful.
Thanks.
Leading up and my expectation of going into the conference, they initially announced the dates over the 24th of September, and every year on the 24th of September I work, so it's like I can't go, then it's done. Last year I worked, and I just remember praying, and I'm like, Lord, you've made a way for me to come on Sundays when I work. Previously he's made a way, and I'm like, please make a way. And then they moved the dates, which is insane. So I really, like, yes, for me. So I really have a favorite. but, yeah, I just went in with a heart so full of expectation of, like, the Lord really, like, he clearly does want me to go. So, yeah, and I think the devil tried to distract me, especially the week before the conference. Like, yo, and I knew, like, it's a good sign. That the Lord is really wanting to do something. So the first worship session already, like, I was just gone from there, like, crying the whole time in madness. And then he's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm not going through a thing. I was just so overwhelmed by the Lord and just how he loves us, which is, like, doesn't make any sense at all. Like, we are so not worthy. We are so undeserving. And he calls us our beloved. Like, there was a song that Mervis sang about he's calling us to be lovers. And I think the whole conference for me, it was just like a bride walking down the aisle to a groom, not making any eye contact with anything else, everything just falling away, just eyes fixed on him. And I think the whole conference, that was that for me. It was just keeping my eyes on him and everything of the world falling away, and just being so loved by him. I think that was the deepest, like, all, it felt like all my insecurities and things that have come up, like the Lord was just digging through them and sorting them all out. It was like I could go back to memories that used to be sensitive, that he just, like, that didn't make sense, like, it doesn't matter. And, so I was crying most of the conference, and it was just incredible, just trying to grasp the idea that he loves us, and that he died for me. Like, why on earth would he do that? And he wanted to do that. I think a couple of weeks ago, I also just had this revelation of when we go into our quiet time, I'm not really great at focusing. So it is always a challenge, and then I get distracted, and then 30 minutes go past, and then I need to go to work. And it was just, the Lord just revealed, like, he prepares the table, we just need to show up. Like, he is waiting in excitement for us. We don't have to conjure up excitement and to conjure up this thing and then be ready to go. And then, like, he's there waiting for us and just saying, like, come lay your head on my chest. You are mine and I am yours. And so it was, it was just a deep, like, feeling so loved by him. And, it was incredible.
Fasten your seatbelts. What is so beautiful to me, and I start off by saying, you know, our response is so good for God. And I want to ask you, Mark. I saw you responded to one of the meetings, at one of the meetings. Could you, during the meeting, and that's you want to cover that.
That's okay. Page 39. Right,
take it. Okay. I give up. Put us down. It's fine. Take us out the way.
To me, and I think if this is the only message I receive, it's not about me. It's not about what I do, how close I am to the Lord, how many hours I spend in quiet time, as valuable as it is in my walk with the Lord. It's about the Lord. It's about God. And I'm just a grain of sand in His hand. An overwhelming thought came through me is, in a body of saints which we experienced, that is just a grain of sand in God's hands. There's the body of saints throughout the world. There's no borders, there's no boundaries, there's no walls. It is just serving an almighty God. And we're encouraged when we're in meetings, we're encouraged when things happen that you feel are relevant to you in a specific meeting, but we're encouraged in there's no boundaries, absolutely not. And the overwhelming thought I had all the time that led to me going up is repentance. Repentance not because I do this and I think of this and da da da, but absolute repentance before God. Yeah. And the whole body just needs to move forward in repentance. So as I went forward purely for that call, was it by Andrew? I'm not too sure. Mm-hmm. It was just as if the whole 4,000 people had to be there in repentance. It's not about me, it is about God. And if we don't have that repentance spirit before our Maker, before our Lord, then I just think there's an aspect of our relationship that is going to be damaged. How was I impacted? Boy, I think I was impacted a lot about one of Andrew's services because it's a reality in his life, it's a reality he experiences, and he just briefly mentioned on it, and that in America there's a lost generation. There's children that have been brought up in homes that aren't godly, there are children brought up in schools that you're not allowed to pray, there are children that are brought up with influences that are ungodly. And what happens when you don't have a godly home where your children can turn to the Word of God? You have an ungodly nation. And I think that just brings tears to anyone's house, is to eyes. The society's us, everyone needs to line up and pull their worth and pull what God has blessed them in. So how would I encourage each other? And that's where I brought in this Bible, was the one where I wrote down yesterday. There are the days of great miracles. These are the days of great miracles. These are the days of powerful and effective prayer. These are the days of great victory. These are the days to stand strong on the Word of God. This is indeed the generation that shall not pass away. And then just two parts in the Bible. One is Isaiah. It is probably going to link into godly men that have already shared it. But it is Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 13. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purposes. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. And it just is an indication to me of the mighty, mighty, mighty hand of God. And then just finally, Habakkuk. Is that how you say it?
Habakkuk.
Habakkuk. I asked you how you pronounce it. Yeah, I was going to ask Mike, but then he got confused up there, so I'm not too sure. And that is the Lord's answer. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. And I just say thank you for the opportunities that we have, that God blesses us with. Thank you for his word in our lives. And for the folk there, I see they've disappeared with young ones. It is a God-given duty to be on our knees praying for our children in repentance. And the repentance is God-given. So thank you. Amen.
Bless you, man. Beautiful. That's good. Awesome stuff.